Hallelujah. Take note, amen, that in verse 23 of chapter 8, he says there that the horn will not rise until the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. And the transgression come to the full. These transgressors, they come to the full. They started somewhere. But their fullness is shown in Revelation, I mean Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter, verse 6 to verse 9. Daniel chapter 12, verse 6 to verse 9. Take note, because we are tracing it. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, that is 2 years, I mean making, time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and a half, that is 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed. Till when? The time of the end. Therefore, when we see in verse 23, chapter 8 and verse 23, that the horn that will rise, that little horn, take note, that is where the confusion is. That little horn that will rise, hallelujah, he will not rise until the latter time of their kingdoms, when the transgressors are come to the full. So let's look at it. If he say the latter times, then it means there is the former time. Amen. Of those four kingdoms. Praise the Lord. That is, there was a time that Macedonia, Thrace, Syria, and Egypt, they reigned. They existed. And that was when the four generals of Alexander the Great broke the Grecian kingdom into four. They existed. That is their former time. If there's going to be a latter time of these four kingdoms, it simply means towards the end, they will be existing again. And we know that when Rome came, he swallowed up all those kingdoms and they were all under Rome. But as Rome, as time came, when that beast broke up into 10 horns, nations began to spring up. And these same nations, today, they have back their identities. Macedonia is still in existence. Syria is still in existence. Egypt is still in existence. And Bulgaria is still in existence today as nations. So what he's saying is that this vision I'm giving you is that at the latter times of these four kingdoms, that is when that little horn will spring up. Amen. Listen. Antiochus did not live in the latter times of those kingdoms. Correct? Because he was the 8th out of 26 kings that ruled Syria, and he died in BC 164, or he died 134 years before the last of the four kingdoms disappeared, which is Egypt, that disappeared in BC 30. So it cannot be referring this time to Antiochus Epiphanes. What does it mean? It simply means that Antiochus Epiphanes was only a shadow of the real Antichrist that will come, and exactly as Epiphanes, you know, works in wickedness, that is how that little horn that was revealed in chapter 7 that we trace to Rome, that is how that wicked king that will come up, that is how wicked he will be. So if you want to know how that king will be, look at Antiochus Epiphanes. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, it is true that Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple. He desecrated the temple. But according to history, and many of us know the history of the Maccabees brothers, they rebelled, and in BC 165, they restored again worship in that temple. Amen. But this little horn, okay, let me go ahead. Number four, the abomination that maketh desolate, spoken by Jesus in Matthew 24 verse 15. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 24 verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Amen. So that abomination that Jesus Christ spoke in, where we read now, Matthew 24 verse 15, it was a future event. And that is to fulfill in future, but in AD 70, a shadow of it also came forth. We have taught several times that that scripture, abomination that maketh desolate, was fulfilled in AD 70. Yes, in AD 70, General Titus came and dealt with Israel until he encamped around the city of Jerusalem. And if you read that history, you will wonder how beastly human beings are. But you will, if you go back and read Zechariah chapter 11, then you will see the reason why he allowed that to happen. That's part of the transgression. It was because of their transgression. That is in Zechariah 11 where he was saying, and they sought for my price, and they weighed me, and they found me. What was his weight? His cost? It cost how much? 30 pieces of silver. Because of that, he allowed what happened to happen. A God of judgment. But even with that one still, what happened in 1870 was still a shadow of what will happen at the last 3.5 years when the Antichrist will now manifest in fullness. So, Matthew 24 verse 15 that Jesus spoke, he was not referring to Antiochus Epiphanes. He was still referring to what will happen when the Antichrist will manifest. And you should take note, according to that verse, when you read it, it says, you notice that Antiochus Epiphanes never stood up against the prince of princes. If you read from verse 23 to verse 25, of Daniel chapter 8, where he described him, Antiochus never stood up against the prince, because that prince, that little horn, the Bible says he stood up against the prince of princes. And who is the prince of princes? Shout his name if you know it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Antiochus Epiphanes reign, Christ was not even born yet. And so, amen, it is just a shadow of the prince, the little horn, that will come up like, and with all the evil that was displayed with by Antiochus Epiphanes, he would display it again. This time, he stood up against the prince of princes, Christ, in the Armageddon war, where we see he gathered the nations in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 16. And then the war proper, we see it in Revelation chapter 17. You can read it from verse 9 up to verse 14. And that is where he stood up against the prince of princes. Amen. And Antiochus Epiphanes, he died anyway 160 years before Christ was born. So, and then lastly, he was not broken without hands. Because if you read from verse 23 to 25, we're making reference to, hallelujah, this Antichrist that is coming, that little horn that is coming, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. This is how he's destroyed. Can we read it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because the Bible says broken without hands. That is, it's not a human being that will kill him. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Therefore, it is talking about the future, when Christ will be coming to end that nonsense, that wickedness. That is when his end will come. Praise the Lord. Antiochus Epiphanes was destroyed with hands. Certainly, he died a natural death at Tabi in Persia in B.C. 164. Therefore, hallelujah, Antiochus Epiphanes' activities, you will notice in verse 14 of Daniel chapter 8, he puts that abomination in the temple. How long? Can we read it? Daniel chapter 8. Verse 9. Let's read it from verse 9 up to verse 14. Just. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, as the horn we'll be looking at, which works exceeding great towards the south, and towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. And it was great even to the hosts of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Verse 14. And he said unto me, how long? Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. How long? History showed us that Olympus goddess, what do you call it? The god, that hidden god, Olympus, that he took and came and put in the holy of holy sanctuary. It remained there for how long? 2,300 days divided by 30 days in a month, you have about 6 years plus. 6 years and 3 months. And according to history, that is the period that he drove everybody away until the Maccabean revolt by the Maccabees brothers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They came and ended that nonsense. The history of the Maccabees is very interesting. Try to read it. Just two people started. They are the veterans of guerrilla warfare. And before you know what, of course, you know, as you know, when God is with you, you don't need a large army to fight a battle. Go and ask Gideon. Praise the Lord. And that is how they went and scattered that thing, cleansed the temple again, and then started worship. Therefore, Antiochus Epiphanes cannot be the Antichrist that is spoken of. He is only a shadow. Praise the Lord. Because that that period that it stood there is only speaking of a time. In his own case, it was 2,300 days. But when the real Antichrist will come, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 5, read it up to verse 9. Let's read it so that you just get it. The period is given there. Daniel chapter 12 is the same thing that God was making clearer and clearer and clearer for him. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So when you read it up to verse 9, Antiochus Epiphanes, his own was 6 years plus, but this one that he foreshadowed will be 3.5 years. That the abomination that maketh desolate. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, let me just pick a summary of what we are looking at. It is the revelation of the Antichrist. God decided to give Daniel a vision, and all that he achieved in the whole book of Daniel, the whole book of Daniel from chapter 1 up to chapter 12, is just to show him what would be the end of things. He was showing him a divine agenda. Amen. By the time we come back to chapter 9, there was another agenda that was given to Daniel. From verse 24, we will read it, we will get there. That one, don't know how long it will take us, just from verse 24 to verse 27, 28, 29. It's another divine agenda. But this one, a mystery, a secret rather, was being given to Daniel. And please, take note of something. Amen. When that revelation was given, you will notice that it was not something that Daniel even bothered to gather the Jews to tell them, because at the time he was writing that they were under captivity. They would not allow them to gather. But he had it, and God caused him to write these things down. If you permit me to say this, this revelation was not for Israel. This revelation is for you and for me. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you why. Because these are activities, events that will take place at the end time. As at the time that Daniel saw those four horns, he didn't even know what they meant. All he told him was, four kingdoms shall arise. That's all. But which kingdoms? Daniel never lived to see which kingdoms they were. But history now has confirmed this. So what is prophecy? Prophecy is history written in advance. Oh, this is our God. This is our God. I watch a little clip of a debate between a Muslim teacher, what do you call them, rabbi, or what do you call them? imam, and one Christian man, maybe he's a theologist, and the Muslim was trying to convince him that the idea that a man went to die for the sin of other people, that it is unreasonable. And if you listen to him, carnally, it's making sense. Intellectually, it is making sense. He's saying that if you say Jesus was the Son of God, he sent Jesus to come and die for people. He said, then why do you, God that you say can do all things, has the power to do all things, why are you limiting him until he cannot forgive unless he sent his Son to come and suffer? He said, that does that make sense to you? That means God is so wicked that you pay somebody, an innocent person, to suffer. He said, then the crowd is clapping. He is making sense. Then the theologian is battling to show. He is quoting Bible to show. He is quoting. And when he quotes, and that Muslim imam knows Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Remember, they study it for that purpose. Praise the Lord. And if you are listening to me, Christians, all over the world, we are not called to argue. Hallelujah. We are not called to argue. I told you some few years back, very rich man, I went to his house. He was to sponsor a particular business, give us some money to do a particular business. And so we went to his house, a very big man, rich man, but we found out that he was a canker. And so when he got to know that I was a preacher, then this church had not started. But I was evangelizing anywhere I go. And then he's now saying, you people, you're talking about Bible that you don't even know. You don't even know the source of that. Do you know that the Bible is not complete? What do you know? Do you know blah, 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 blah? I look this man, I say, because I can't find money for your hand, I they talk like this. For my heart, I talk. So, I told him, I said, sir, do you believe this Bible? Hey, which Bible? I said, so, you don't believe this Bible, then what is our reference point for the argument? I said, don't you think that it is empty talk when we don't have any point of reference? I said, please, let's do business, forget this one. Carry your ekanka and go. I carry my Jesus and go. Make we do business. The man looked at my friend that took me there and said, who is this man? Who brought him here? I said, sir, did I bring me here for you to initiate me into your cult? Let's talk business. Now, which one concerns us with a Bible and a ekanka again? He said, you people leave my house. I said, sir, excuse me, sir. Did you invite me to come to join a canker or to do business? He said, I said, leave my house. I said, no, you have not answered me, sir. He said, leave my house. So I said, okay, sir. And I left. Praise the Lord. Don't argue with anybody. Go and preach the gospel to the whole world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You don't believe. That's all I want to know. You either believe or you don't believe. Don't try to convince anybody or argue with anybody. The reason is, Apostle Paul said that Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul told us that if they had known this mystery, the princes of this world will not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hey. Hallelujah. You don't know the privilege that you have that God will call you to understand his divine agenda. The Bible says, he, God, made all things and for his pleasure. We are called according to his purpose. He displays his sovereignty. Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 9, tells us, who are you quickly to answer the potter. Who has power to break you and remold you again? Hey, glory be to God. Hallelujah. When I see myself that I did not go to Bible school, I did not go to school of theology. Hallelujah. And then God can cause me not just to be part of it, because God knows what He's doing. Of course, He must raise preachers. But generally, there is something God puts in you to believe Him. And then He places you to follow Him in the right path. Because it's not even all who hold this Bible, hallelujah, that we make it. Some of them are foolish, and some of them are wise. Who are those that are foolish? They are foolish because they have the lamp, but they have no oil for revelation. They remain foolish until the door is closed against them. But we are privileged. Oh, glory be to God. He gave us the lamp, and He gave us the oil. He gave us revelation. And it's not by power, and it's not by might. Hallelujah. It's not He that will it, nor He that run it, but God that showeth mercy. And there's nothing we have to boast about. It's just such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Hallelujah. Take note. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen. Verse 1 to 3. Let's read it again. It's our popular scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not so shaken in mind, it was writing in the first church age, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by enemies. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now this revelation is in twofold. There is the revelation from the scripture, and there is the revelation of Him sitting now in the temple live. You cannot say, see Him here. Hallelujah. And this revelation will come at the end time. And this revelation is part of the end time message. That's where I want to emphasize now. You believe a message, you believe a message. What is the message? It is the message I'm giving you now. He said, for you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there Antichrists. And God took time to show Daniel how this Antichrist will be. So in chapter 7 and verse 8, listen very well. He is revealed to Daniel as a little horn. His location. In chapter 7 verse 8, God was showing Daniel the location, and that he will be found in the fourth beast, the fourth empire, and that he will be found in a city. He will be found in Rome, the Vatican. He went further to shed more light in chapter 8 and verse 9. When he said, talk about another little horn, where we just studied today, he's trying to now let you know the nationality of the man that Satan will use when he will be revealed. And the nationality is that he will be a Syrian. And that's why, amen, the story is put that way in chapter 8 and chapter 11. And all the emphasis is on that little horn. And that little horn is, hallelujah, it's known as the King of the North. And that little horn is the one tied by that Syrian general Antiochus Epiphanes. And all the description we see, it is just God trying to show Daniel the nationality. And every cardinal, like I said last time, is an automatic citizen of the Vatican. And the popes are selected from the College of Cardinals. It is always one of them that they are elected. They are elected to be the Pope. So the Pope can come from any part of the world. At the last, the one before this one, what was he? Is he an Italian? Where is he? It's from Holland. Okay, from Netherlands. Okay. And then this present one now is from South America. Amen. If Christ tarries, the next one may come from Nigeria. Yes, because there are cardinals in Nigeria. Hallelujah. I think we have about 3 or 4 cardinals in Nigeria. Amen. Once you become a cardinal, you are a potential pope. Because any of them, and it's possible before Christ comes to balance it up, because no black man has been there, so that it will really look, you know, global. They may come to Africa, and with the population of Nigeria, I think they should give us. They should give us now. So let's pray that they will remember us, so that we too, we can have one now. Can have Pope. Hallelujah. That's exactly what the book of Daniel chapter 8, God was trying to achieve. The nationality. The first one in chapter 7 was for him to know that he would appear in the days of the fourth empire, the fourth beast. And that beast is the beast with 10 horns. And there's an 11th horn. And that 11th horn is what we trace. And then he came again. And then, you know, that little horn, which is the 11th horn, we see him again mentioning that little horn is for a reason, so that we can know his nationality in chapter 8. And then you will notice that in chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, let's read Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. In the divine agenda that he gave him from verse 24, but from verse 26, there's a statement that is made there that makes it also clearer. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be caught up in the agenda that was given to him from verse 24. For those of you who have not heard me take it before, when we come to chapter 9, you will get it. But I want to bring out something in verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the world, desolations are determined. And this particular prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70. And so, we will look at it that destroyed the city. We will look at it. Who were those that destroyed the city? He said, they are the people of the prince that shall come. So he's telling him something else there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The people of the prince that shall come. And who were those that came and destroyed the city in 1870? They came from Rome. So Romans are the people of the prince that shall come. The Antichrist, that's what he's saying here. Letting you know that the Antichrist will come from Rome. Praise the Lord. And watch it as we saw. Amen. In the next verse, Antiochus Epiphanes, the Bible says he came by flatteries. He came by peace pacts. Because they knew he was wicked, nobody will allow him to take over. Amen. When his brother died, so he came by flattery, peace. And if we read Daniel chapter 9 again, let's read Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Hallelujah. And he shall confirm the covenant. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And it is the Antichrist talking about here. The prince that shall come. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the middle of the week, the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so there is a covenant that is coming up. He will come. And what covenant is that? It's a covenant of peace. Why will he have a covenant of peace? Because a time is going to come, but something will happen that the United Nations will be rendered useless. Something will happen that will humiliate America. Something will happen, praise the Lord, that the whole world will know that all these treaties we are having cannot work. We need a man. And it is only normal that they will look for the most respected man on earth. And that seat is warming herself into all religions now. And that's why the person occupying that seat, you see him freely go to the mosque, freely go to Hindu shrine, freely go to Buddhist shrine, telling everybody we are one, it's the same God, we are one. And remember, on earth today, he is the most respected man. Hallelujah. With followership, a greater percentage of the population of the whole world are his followers. And so he will come with peace. And then, corny like that, he will find his way in Jerusalem in the temple. And he will endure for 3.5 years. Like Antiochus Epiphanes, he will not show which demon is in him after 3.5 years. Because the first 3.5 years, the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 11, chapter 7, they are anointed through the message of those prophets, 2 prophets in chapter 11. They receive the sealing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they go forth with the everlasting gospel. And they are there opening the eyes of the Jews. And he will endure it for 3.5 years. The remaining 3.5 years of that 1 week, 7 years period, is that 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Times, and the dividing of time. 3.5 years. That is the period he stands up. And that is the time that he shows who he is. Praise the Lord. That is when, if you don't accept him as your God, you will neither buy nor you sell unless you take his mark. Praise the Lord. And so God was revealing that to him. Number 4, we see that in Daniel chapter 11, is the same thing he was making clearer and clearer from verse 36 to verse 39, is revealed as that willful king that is described as a vile person. And in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 6 to verse 7, we see the period of 3.5 years, which is, like I said, the last week of the 70th week that God gave Daniel in chapter 9 concerning that divine agenda that we shall come to. And take note that Daniel chapter 7 verse 25 also confirms that the last 3.5 years, that last 70th week, the half of it that we see, I just spoke about in Daniel 9:27, is the tribulation period, which is what the angel was showing John in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. Jeremiah 30 verse 7 calls that period the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a very horrible period. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, the little horn that you see in Revelation chapter 8, that straight forth to chapter 11, its activities, is nothing but the Antichrist presented in a foreshadow. And the picture is clearly given there by the interpretation that the angel gave Daniel himself. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we read from verse 3, verse 4, Apostle Paul called him the son of perdition. The son of perdition. And I want us, you know, to take note of what the angel told John in Revelation chapter 13, verse 9 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 13, verse 9 and verse 10. Amen. Here, it says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Remember, that is where he revealed the Antichrist, the beasts that come out of the water. He said, he that leadeth into captivity, that is the Antichrist himself, shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword is the Antichrist himself in the time of the tribulation. This is his end. Must be killed also with the sword. And he added there, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That is a statement that catch my attention. He described the certainty of the destruction of the Antichrist. And he added, he said, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What is the patience and the faith of the saints? The patience, hallelujah, this revelation, knowing that he that is dealing with us, his own end too is coming. Amen. Having this assurance that it will not be forever, we are patient. And knowing this revelation, the faith of the saints is revelation of the saints. It is revelation of that agenda that gives us patience, that enables us to walk with God, knowing where the whole thing is going to culminate into. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Apostle Paul was reassuring us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 1. Hallelujah.